Shana, the Yevadim, are coming close. First, I'd like to begin by pointing out a couple of halakhic issues that are nogea this Shabbos uniquely, and that it would do well to be aware of before the Shabbos comes. First of all, one has to do with the reading of the Haftarah this week. What is special about the reading of the Haftarah this week? What happened different this year? The answer is that something happened that was different, and that is that in the middle of reading the Sheva de Nechemta, the seven Haftarahs that are post Tisha B'Av, there came a Shabbos which was Rosh Chodesh. That was Shabbos Parshas Re'eh, which was Rosh Chodesh, and we followed the Ramah, did not write the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh, the Haftarah called Aniyah Sayara, and instead laid Hashemayim Kisi, the Rosh Chodesh Haftarah, which means we're actually missing one of the Sheva de Nechemta. The Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh is in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Dalet. We missed him. This week, Parshas Kiseitze, the Haftarah Parshas Kiseitze, the famous Haftarah of Rodi Akara Lo Yomada, and this is also in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Dalet. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Chof Hei, Sichkot Zayin, says that since we missed one of the Sheva de Nechemta, and we have the opportunity to make it up this week, we therefore should lain this week both the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh and the Haftarah of Parshas Kiseitze in the order it appears in Yeshaya, which is Kiseitze first, and Parshas Re'eh second. And therefore, the shuls that are aware of this, the custom by all the Ashkenaz will be to lain both Haftarahs. I would suggest in your shul you make your balkeire or discuss with your rav this nekuda. It doesn't come up that often, and therefore it's easily forgotten. The Haftarah of Parshas Nayach is Yeshaya Perek Nadalit, and guess what? It is Rani Akara and Ani Asayara. It is these two Haftarahs together. So actually, a rav can get up in shul and announce that this week we will be laying the Haftarah of Parshas Nayach, which is correct, although I imagine it will raise a number of eyebrows. It's true, we are going to lay the Haftarah of Parshas Nayach, or if you want to put it in a more correct way, the Haftarah of Parshas Kiseitze, followed by the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh. A second Nekuda, which is special for this year, and actually comes up every 2 or 3 years. And that is, that today we are laying the Parshas Kiseitze at the end, the parsha of Zechiras Amalek, and that is that on Parshas Zachar we lay the in the Parshas Kiseitze. That's the Haftarah for Parshas Zachar. Now, if somebody missed Parshas Zachar, certainly during Kriyas Haftarah this week, such an individual should have a mind to be yaitze Parshas Zachar, and probably tell the Bakira to have a mind to be yaitze him. There's another point brought up by the Chassam Sofer. And that is when it's an Iber Yo, when it's a leap year, as it is this year. We lay Parshas Zachar once a year so that Yud Beis Chodesh don't pass by, 12 months don't pass by, without mentioning the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Well, this year, 12 months won't pass by, because from Adar of last year to Adar Sheni of Tushanayim Vav will be 13 months on the Hebrew calendar. And therefore, we're going to go 12 months without reading Parshas Zachar. And therefore, the Sefer brings a minikta, the proper hanhaga, to have in mind this Shabbos to be yaitza, the mitzvah of Zechiras mitzvahs. Zechiras Amalek is actually both what Amalek did and the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, as Rashi and the Ramban discuss. And a person should have a mind to be yaitza. If people in the shul are aware of it beforehand, or the Rav chooses to do so, he'll make an announcement. But anyone should have in mind to be Yaitzah as a Chumrah, being the kind of the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar with the name Lightning. So these are two items which are unique for this Shabbos and a reminder to everybody regarding these things. Discussing this week's parasha, I'd like to share with you two ideas. One is a more technical idea which has a muster, and the other is a muster idea which has a muster. Let's start with the more technical. This is Parsha, is about Kisekte Lamolchama, going out to battle, actually started in Parsha Shaftim, and continues in this week's Parsha at length. When we talk about an army, there are two words in Hebrew. A soldier, or an army, is called a chayil or a chayol. A chayil is an army. You find this numerous times in Tanakh. We also find the word tzva to mean the army. Tzvais are the soldiers, Tzvais Yisrael, and Nach, in Malachim, we find the Jewish army with the name Tzva. As a matter of fact, in the Torah, it's almost always referred to as Yetzi Tzva, those who go out to the army. What is the difference between the word Kayo and the word Tzva as it refers to going to the army? A second point, the word Tzva is an army. But the word Tzva is used in other connotations as well. There was no army, there was no battle. The heavenly bodies are called, so to speak, the army, usually translated the host, the legions, but it's referring to tzva, an army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has seven Shema, Shena, and Chakim, seven names mentioned in Yeradaya, and one is the name Tzvakais, the same exact word. And how could that be? The Gemara in Bamei Isha Yitzeh says that wearing army fatigues or clothing of an army is not a davish al kavod. When Mashiach comes, there will be no battles. It's a unfortunate necessity, not something honorable. And yet we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the name, which also means army. Why is this so? I've often quoted the Sefer Haksava HaKabbalah. The author of Ksava HaKabbalah also wrote a Sefer I've never seen before. It's called Ayin Halacha, the same name as Rav Schwab's Sefer on Siddur. This is his Sefer on Siddur. And there, he explains the difference between a chayil, an army, and tzva. Chayil literally means kayach, power. It refers to a powerful army. Chayil, we find the expression chelach le'oiraisa. Your power, your energy, should be used for Torah. Or the pasuk esmach ki rat cheli. Chayil means power. It refers to an army that's powerful. Chayil refers to physical power. Tzva also refers to an army, but it refers to another attribute of an army, which is crucial, and that is what he calls the hisachdus, the hischabrus, the tafkid echad. The army joining together for one purpose. An army that's many individuals will not succeed. People have to compensate for each other. People have to work for each other and with each other. The working together of an army is as important as anything. And that focus, that one focus, is crucially important. We find the word tzva to apply to the mishmar of Levim as well, the mishmar of Kayanim. They too are called tzva. The Levim, Yashuv Mitzva HaAvodah, they will return from this army that does the work. It's a language that implies a focus. As a matter of fact, the word tzav means desire. If you listen carefully when they read the ksuba, it says that the man proposed to this woman, and she agreed to marry him. Tzavi, she desired. Tzav is to desire. It focuses on the desire of an army to be able to work together. The heavenly bodies work an amazing, really incredible, unified way. The heavenly bodies predictably work together. Today that we understand the gravitational pulls of the heavenly bodies influence the entire of heavens. We understand there's a tremendous coming together, a tremendous unity in the Tzva HaShemayim. That's Tzva. Tzva Kais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate ichud of purpose. He's called Hashem Tzva Kais. And so, a Jewish army in the Chumash is always called Tzva, always called an army. There's one exception. It says in Parshas Matos, Paraklavet Aleph, it says, Yifkidu HaPakudim HaShavanchi HaTzva, he calls them an army. But later, Vayitzvah Moshe HaPakudei HaChoyol. Later, when Moshe Rabbeinu found that they had behaved improperly, it calls them Pekudei HaChoyol Chayolim. It no longer use that, the natural honor of tzava, of working with the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they didn't. They made a mistake. And so the lesson is that when a tzibur has to accomplish something, whether it's the Mishmari Salavim or the Kayanim, whether it's the heavenly bodies that work together to do Ratzon Hashem, and it's members of an army or any group, to be tzava Hashem, there has to be a focus, a rotzen, a singular rotzen, a rotzen that is unified, everyone together, to accomplish Ratzon Hashem. I'd like to move on to a second thought. In looking through the Sefer Derech Sicha, I have found an incredible number of items, especially Piskei Halacha, that I had heard from Rav Palm and had difficulty with, and I find in the Derech Sicha, Rav Chaim is quoted as saying the same thing, one item that comes to mind. When you're in Shmei Nesrei, and the Chazan gets the Kedusha, Shulchan Aruch says you should have a mind be yaitzah with the Chazan's Kedusha. You can't always hear the Chazan, especially in a large shul. And Rav Palm said, it's okay, you can listen to the people standing next to you. That's adequate. To me, that's astonishing. The person next to me doesn't have a mind to be mighty me. I never got an answer that I understood. But I see here, in Derech Sicha, the first volume, the same psak is brought. Well, my purpose is not that vart or that psak, but a vart in this expression. Let me share it with you. Rav Chaim writes, on Perichot Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lesata Mishnah Ger Yosai. Ger, it means Ger and a Yosai, and an Almana. But it's written Ger Yosai without the Vav. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes a Chiddush. So the Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, at the end of Perek Vav, questions until what point is a person who lost a parent called a Yosai. Adem Asai Nikru Yosainim. And the Rambam answers, Ad Shaloi Yiyut Srichim La'adam Gadol La'has Michala Bori Yitabel Bahem V'yayisa Kol Tzarchei Asmai. The Rambam, at the end of Perek Vav in Hilchos Deyos, says that a person can be older and be called a Yosin as long as he needs someone older to work with him, to help him. He's not independent. Such a person who's missing the parental figure, whether it's a mother or a father, has a din of a Yosin. Chaim Kanievsky brings this and adds, there's some people who could be a Yosin b'chaye adiyin. If someone has parents who are divorced, and one parent is estranged, has nothing to do with the child. Rav Chaim says the halachas would be the same. He would have a din of a yosin. Rav Chaim says a ger who's megayer, and is an age where he still needs his parents' help, but they're not with him. Such a person also has a halacha of yosin. And he says this is merumis in the pasuk. Satan mishpat ger yosin. Does not say ger v'yosin. Even though pshat is ger v'yosin, but the word about ger yosin is if to be merames the end that every ger has within him the requirement that we look at him favorably because he has that lack, the lack that every Yosin has. So it's Rav Chaim's insight that to be a Yosin is not a technical Yosin whose parent passed away, but someone who in fact is missing the support of a parent. This brings to mind Rav Palm's very powerful thought, which he often said to us. The Torah has a special love, Yosef the Almana, regarding a widow and a orphan. Well, Yisaynu, not to cause them pain, not to cause them pain with words. Now, Rafan said the following. He said, when a man causes his wife tzar, when he causes his wife pain, he's over on the issur of causing pain to an Almana. She's not an Almana, her husband is alive. But Rashi says that the specific prohibition against causing pain to an almana is because a regular married woman can go to her husband when she's in pain and be comforted. An almana, we know, has no husband to whom to go. So if a man causes his own wife pain, she too has nobody to go to comfort her. And therefore, the issur of causing pain to an almana would apply. This is exactly Reb Chaim's idea, that when the Torah talks about a special care and dealing with a yosai, it means someone who has that emotional lack that every child should have. He's missing that support. same thing regarding an almana. Any woman who doesn't have that support that a married woman has falls under this category, and certainly there's a requirement to be extra careful not to cause any woman's harm, certainly one's own life. So these are thoughts for this week's parasha, Ki Seisei L'Mohama Alei Vecha. And with these thoughts, our time for this week is over. I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful, delightful, meaningful Shabbos, a return to Haskalah of Zman. And of course, how could I forget, the Mishmar begins tonight. Mishmar resumes tonight. The Tzva Hashem. The Mishmar is called the Tzva by the Chumash. Wow. The Tzva HaAvodah. Yashuv, return, Mitzvah HaAvodah, in this case, to the Mishmar. Looking forward to seeing you all.